I'm Josh Cooperman, and this is Convo by Design. A strategic public relations approach is most effective when the stories are organized around themes that emerge from an organization's brand. The following conversation is from West Edge Design Fair and features Catherine Minervini, Emily Hooper, and Riva Revis. Public relations strategies specifically for the design trade. Speaking of public relations, probably not a bad idea to throw out every now and again, Convo by Design is a talk series featuring candid conversations with designers, architects, artists, and visionaries about the latest in home and design. And speaking of tech, we rely on it heavily and would appreciate your help. If you haven't already, please join us on Twitter, Facebook, Pinterest, and Instagram. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes so you get every episode as soon as they're published. You can also find us on YouTube with short videos from the podcast episodes you hear here. So I know it's a lot to ask, but thank you. We appreciate it. Convo by Design is presented by Snyder Diamond. Many Convo by Design listeners already know this. For those new to the show, Russ Diamond, second-generation president of Snyder Diamond, travels the world looking for the most innovative and forward-thinking design in products and appliances for the kitchen and bath. He searches the world looking for the newest products and emerging technologies and styles so you don't have to find those products that simply and elegantly make life better, like those from Wolf. Wolf's gas cooktops and induction ranges, performance and design blended together seamlessly. Combine the striking integrated look with the most powerful Wolf dual-stack burner ever, over 20,000 BTU. Sitting flush to the countertop with knobs and controls mounted to the cabinet panel of your choosing. This Wolf cooktop has a powerful center burner for lightning-fast boils and restaurant-quality sears, and four surrounding burners with precision control for low-end simmers and melts. The stainless burner pan is seamless and easy to clean. Power, precision, elegant contemporary design, and ease of use. Designers and architects want their clients to be the best they can be in their new kitchens, and Snyder Diamond can help you make their dreams a reality. Check out the full line of Wolf gas ranges and induction cooktops at Snyder Diamond. You've heard me tell you about Snyder Diamond, always first with what's next. You've also been hearing me tell you about the remarkable line of cooktops and ranges from Wolf, stunning in both performance and design, and for a very limited time, there is an amazing rebate offer on 30 and 36-inch ranges and cooktops. Looking for an upgrade? Now's the time. Here's how this works. Between January 1st and April 30th of 2017, Wolf is offering rebates of up to $750 on some of their most popular products. Conditions and details apply. So go to Snyder Diamond, find the Wolf cooktop or range. Maybe you want both. Great. Now's the time. Go to Snyder Diamond. Find out more about this rebate program. They have three Southern California showrooms. You can also find them online at SnyderDiamond.com.
Right,
I love that. You guys are pros.
Totally.
I love this.
Well, we had the best teacher.
Oh, you're sweet. Aww. Welcome to day two, West Edge 2016. I almost said 2015. It's been a long weekend already.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. This is the Convo by Design Social Lounge and Stage. This is day two. It's Saturday. And I'm excited about this one. A strategic public relations approach is most effective when stories are organized around themes that emerge from the organization's brand. Like an effective selling tactic, hello, a public relations strategy works best with cultivating ongoing relationships with the media. A focused public relations strategy is a tool that consistently enhances your brand, supports your marketing objectives, and helps to build brand advocates. And talking about that today, we have Emily Hooper. You remember Emily from yesterday? Actually, you don't. Maybe you don't. I don't know. Emily is a Los Angeles-based writer, editor, and digital media strategist who has written for the Architects newspaper, Architect Magazine, Metals and Construction, and Contract Magazine. During the last 2 years with IA Interior Architects, she has developed a content and organic distribution strategy for the firm that encompasses a blog, a video program, a podcast, and an active presence on six social media platforms. Catherine Minervini is the founder of Green Owl Studio, which is a collaborative consultancy that is a culmination of her experience in interior design, branding, and marketing, a passionate storyteller, a communications fanatic, and a brand authority. Catherine finds it exhilarating to bring ideas to life. With more than 25 years' experience in the interior design industry and educated as an interior designer, she has worked in creative development, brand management, and marketing, as well as interior design for award-winning design firms such as Hardy Holzman, Pfeiffer Associates in New York City. Catherine's consultancy focuses on high-level marketing, communications and social media strategy. And joining us today is Reva Revis. Revis. Reva Revis. I may edit that. I may not. I don't know. Reva is an established public relations consultant specializing in contract interiors by focusing on authenticity and relevance. Reva builds integrated communication plans that help her clients rise above the hype and earn and sustain the trust and advocacy of all stakeholders vital to the success. This is wordy. I'm going to edit that out. Reva cut her PR teeth at a prestigious public relations agency in Atlanta, where she was hired to work in the public relations practice area. Eventually, through purely geographical circumstances, she was drawn to the nearby carpet capital of the world. What is the carpet capital? Okay, hold that thought. Reva soon developed a specialization in the interior design and architecture community by building the first in-house public relations function for two of the world's leading carpet manufacturers, where she managed strategic communications for product innovation and environmental and thought leadership. Today, her public relations practice is situated at the intersection of interior design and sustainability. Reva's client portfolio includes furniture manufacturers and architectural glass designer, a flooring manufacturer, a fabric supplier, design firms, as well as the odd project that takes her out of her professional niche and into one of her personal passions, such as travel, technology, or politics. I love that. I'm going to leave you now, but where's the carpet capital of the world?
It's Dalton, Georgia.
Where?
Dalton, Georgia.
Okay.
And with that, we're taking off. Thanks, Josh, and thanks for having us. Today we're talking about the media component of extending your brand through a digital strategy. One of the things that I think the three of us get a lot of questions about in general are, sometimes people just want to get more exposure, and the exposure doesn't necessarily mean you just start pitching things out to magazines or blogs or whomever. It's really about understanding how it fits into your overall marketing strategy. I think that's something that Reva and I talk about a lot. We work on projects together and work with firms together. And sometimes she'll get a call that they'll say, we want a publicist, and she'll start asking them a lot of questions about their marketing strategy, and they'll realize that they don't really have a marketing strategy, or that they might need help in developing what some of their marketing initiatives are. So what we tried to do is really look at how a public relations outreach really fits into your overall brand story. So there are so many venues now. I mean, there's digital, there's traditional print.
And traditional print has expanded into digital products as well.
Exactly.
A lot of crossover.
So we always look at the holistic approach of making sure that you're really building out content that can be used across all of these different mediums. And do you want to talk a little bit more about some of the mediums that are out there based on the digital
like reach
venues
and things?
And the reach.
Yeah.
The various reaches.
I mean, I think we talked about this a little bit yesterday, Catherine.
There's a lot of travel today.
It's a busy Saturday out here in Santa Monica. We talked a little bit yesterday about Facebook, right? You've got almost 2 billion active monthly users on Facebook. So that's always something that I recommend as sort of part of your evergreen approach. Instagram follows behind, but with quite a large gap at 400 million active monthly users. And from there, it kind of really trickles down into, I think, probably Snapchat and Instagram have the highest engagement rates, meaning those people are on daily. So, again, we talked about identifying your audience a little bit, mm-hmm. which we can get into today, identifying your targets, and then evaluating which of those platforms work best to help you achieve your goals.
Right. Social media is something that can be aligned with PR. For example, all of the publications in our industry, such as Interior Design Magazine, Contract Magazine, just to name a few, they have very active social media social media platforms, and you can tag into that. You can tap into that, and often, if say for example, if you don't have an advertising budget to support, say a print ad, you can work in some sponsored content posts,
yes,
that they do.
Yes.
And that is a very budget-friendly approach as well.
Exactly.
And you can align it with PR and social media.
And the cool thing with a sponsored ad on Facebook or Instagram is that you get the numbers behind that, right? Whereas a print ad, you don't always have such immediate feedback on the success of your strategy.
It's much easier to measure, and it's also much more budget-friendly.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about how public relations has evolved, because there are the traditional formats that are out there, but now it's really evolved into kind of capitalizing on a lot of different types of venues or how to tell a brand story. So what, in your opinion, how do you think that some of that has evolved over time?
Well, first let's make sure that we clarify the distinction between public relations and advertising.
Right.
So advertising is something that you completely control the content. You create it. It can be a print ad. It could be something audio, just something visual, and you completely control the content. And then you also control exactly where it goes, whether it's a print ad in a publication, whether it's a sponsored post on, mm-hmm, say, Interior Design's Facebook page.
Right.
And you control all of that, and you pay for it. Mm-hmm. Public relations is when you tap into the editorial part of either a publication or a digital publication, and it's when you give them content and they decide when and how to use it.
Right.
So how that has evolved in the interiors industry is that when I first got into contract interiors more than 20 years ago, we basically had three or four print publications.
Yeah.
And that was it.
Right.
And all the manufacturers and all the architecture and design firms were vying for that monthly publication space in that monthly publication on the editorial side, whether it's getting their projects published if you are an architecture or design firm, or whether it's getting your products published if you are a manufacturer in this space as well. And that was all there was.
Right.
And so it was that one monthly publication. So you had interior design, you had interiors back then, which, mm-hmm, eventually folded into Contract Magazine. Metropolis was sort of new on the scene then, mm-hmm, and then some of the architectural publications such as Architectural Record, Architect, and then we had some vertical market publications.
Right.
There's some design publications in education, hospitality,
retail,
healthcare, and so that was all we had.
It's a lot of pressure,
typically, these design publications were organized much in the same way. You would open it up, and in the front of it would be different projects.
Right.
Different design projects. And then towards the back, you would have what we sort of call the market pages. And that would be your opportunity to get your products published. And that was it. Now, that has evolved now into, we have about, the last time I counted, I have a list of 166 design blogs.
No.
Yeah, there are that many. Now, I don't interact with all of them because that would be impossible. I mean, that would be...
You wouldn't have time to sleep.
Well, I would have to have a staff, you know? Yeah. And so, but it's important, though, to go in and find the one that is more aligned with what makes sense for your audience. So,
right.
But now we have blogs. And these, as we said earlier, these magazines, the traditional print publications, have come up with this wide range of online and digital products in addition to their social media.
Right.
So there's a lot of opportunity to get your products and your projects published now than you've ever had before.
Yeah, it's definitely opened up quite a bit.
What about, we talked yesterday during the brand component of this conversation, we talked a lot about building, organizing your brand around what you stand for, your mission, but also some of the common themes or the ideas that are important to you as a company, as a brand, as a person, as a designer, as a product manufacturer, and organizing some of the stories there so that when you are doing some public relations outreach, whether it's pitching or whether it's putting content out there on some of the social platforms, we talked a little bit about building that that gets built around some common themes. What's the approach to that when you're working with whether it's a design firm or it's a product manufacturer, really identifying, is that something that's important to figuring out how to tell a story?
It is. But that comes with your brand work. So what you do is when you figure out what are the things about your brand. So for example, if sustainability is a big part of your brand story, then it also should be, that should be represented in how you do PR outreach.
Right.
And you make that part of everything that you talk about, whether you're talking about product, whether you're talking about your facilities. So for example, product manufacturers, that sustainability is a big part of what influences people, architects and designers, to specify their product,
right,
then you're going to talk about that every time you talk about a product. You're going to, whenever
right.
you get a product published, you're going to, you'll describe the aesthetic, the color range or whatever, and then at the end, you would also tag on the different types of green, third-party green certifications and how this fits into your sustainability, if that is an important part of your brand and your story,
so yeah.
And then another thing is if you are very much involved with getting, if you're a product manufacturer and you are bringing in interior designers or people with design firms to help you design products.
Mm-hmm.
So if high-level design, if that commitment to design at all levels of your company is something that is part of your brand, then of course you would talk about that with your products.
Well, that's
as well.
Something when we were talking about prepping for this, something we didn't talk about is designers who are designing products for manufacturers. A lot of designers, especially even whether they're smaller design firms or larger design firms, are today creating collections for manufacturers to then put out to the marketplace.
And right. that enhances your PR opportunity for that collection
exactly.
more than anything
yeah.
because editors really love to talk to designers.
That's right.
And they, so if you have, if you really have a big named interior designer to come in and design a product collection, that is a huge PR opportunity.
Yeah.
For
yeah.
What else were we going to chat about today? Let's talk a little bit. Emily and I had some conversations, Emily, on what to do after you getting published, and what,
right.
how can you extend your brand, extend some of that content beyond just getting published? Let's say a design
yeah.
firm gets a really a big hospitality project.
Well, maybe before we do that, let's talk about how to get published.
Well, why don't we do that?
Okay.
Let's
yeah.
talk a little bit about how to get published. That's right.
I'm a publicist, and so what I do is I help my clients get published. But I'm not opposed to, if you don't have the budget to hire a publicist, we can talk about some tips, call DIY
yeah,
publicity.
Yeah.
And I'm,
yeah,
I'm totally okay with giving away a little secret sauce here.
Between public relations and social media, it could be really overwhelming, especially if you don't have a big team and
or the budget.
Right. You're doing it on your own. If you don't have the budget, you can't hire somebody to do this stuff. But if there are some really simple things, we talked a little bit about that yesterday,
yeah.
is how can you start to set your strategy for social media? If you're a one-person firm or a smaller firm or a firm that is just so busy, they don't have time to,
yeah.
And the resources to put towards this. So, yeah, let's talk a little bit about
okay,
that.
Okay, so let's break it up into two things. So, first of all, if you are an interior designer.
Yeah.
And you work for a small firm or just maybe on your own, and you have this project that you think is so great that you wonder, how do I get that in front of an editor at a magazine?
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have the budget to invest in a publicist to help you do that, but you do have to invest in amazing photography. Design
yeah.
publications do not do a lot of their own original photography.
Right.
And so they rely on design firms to invest in that and give that to them so that when the project is published in their pages, so they have very high standards for this photography. And so that can be very expensive. And so for example, I sit down a couple of times a year with a really small design firm in downtown LA. And they don't really have the budget to for me to work with them on an ongoing basis. But what I do is I look through their projects that they have coming online, things that they're going to be installed pretty soon. Mm-hmm. And I help them determine, okay, this is the one. This is the one you need to
this is going to be spend, this is going to be newsworthy.
Yeah, to spend your photography budget on. And then it's really quite simple after that in terms of getting it to the publications. For example, Interior Design Magazine and Contract Magazine, they have a web, they have a page on their website that gives you very specific instructions about how to go, how to curate your images and tell your story and how to send it in, because they want to see you be successful. They want to
absolutely
see, and they don't want to keep publishing the same design firms over and over again. They want to find that new design, this up and coming designer.
Right. It doesn't matter if they're big firms or small firms. It really has to do with the project.
It has nothing to do with the size. And
that's
exactly
right.
Yes. And so the important thing is, but you absolutely must find that budget for
really
for photography. Now there is a way that you can sort of co-op your photography. A lot of times you can go out and ask the manufacturers that you specified to contribute towards the photography budget, because then it benefits them, because if the project gets published, then their product is going to be in there as well. So you can go around and ask your furniture your furniture manufacturer, your lighting supplier, if they could help with that. So that's one way to meet that budget.
Yeah. I mean, I think you hit a really strong point, Riva, when you were talking about not just the investment in your photography, but the strategy behind your photography, right? And identifying what that story is going to be with those images. And even if you don't have the budget to continue working with your publicist or your strategist who's helping you define that strategy, you can carry that story online. You can continue that conversation. And it doesn't have to, as you were mentioning earlier, before the advent of e-magazines and blogs, where you only had a very limited opportunity to tell your story, that's no longer the case today. So you can even if your project doesn't end up in Interior Design Magazine.
There are several blogs that are hungry for content.
Right.
And with those, you can get by with not, you don't really have to go out and hire like an amazing photographer for that.
Yeah.
It's better if you do, but you can, I mean, you can't get by with iPhone snaps. But
you've
got to do a little better than that. But there's the design blogs are hungry for content.
Yeah.
And a lot of times that's where it starts. Somebody sees something on like Office Snapshots or something like that.
Right.
And then it goes, then an editor at, say, Contract Magazine sees it, and then they say, let's look into that.
Right. Yeah, I think too, part of that is also, we talked a little bit about this yesterday, about telling your brand story and going a little bit behind the scenes and taking it outside of those beautifully curated and professionally shot images, where you can kind of chronicle your brand story and your development process through your web presence, whether it's on a blog, whether it's part of your website, whether it's on a social platform, and kind of keeping that conversation going and keeping people in line, because editors are also online, right? Almost every publication in a professional function has a very strong web presence. And that, for me, was a really helpful tool when I was looking for projects, was going to the websites, looking to see what had been completed, checking up on their social channels, their blogs, to see what they were working on, if there was something I should pencil in for a couple months down the line. So it kind of helps editors build their calendars as well when you're giving them lots of information.
And calendars, that's an important thing too,
a great tool that keeps you on
calendars.
Track for the whole year.
So if you're a designer or if you're a product manufacturer, all of the major publications publish they come out about this time every year. They publish the editorial calendar for the following year. And so you can go in there and see that, for example, okay, in July, Interior Design Magazine always, for as long as I can remember, they feature flooring. So if you're a flooring manufacturer, make sure about 2 months ahead of that you get your photography in there. And let's talk a little bit about product photography as well. The publications also have on their website exactly how they want to receive product photography. You know, they don't, for example, if you've got carpet or if you've got fabric, do not have it bleed to the edge. You know,
they want
it on a white background because you think of it as a page. But they have very specific details, and they tell you exactly how to photograph your products.
How about blogs? Do blogs have editorial calendars as well?
Not really.
It's a little bit more,
it's really more
organic.
It's very organic. But any time that you have a new product collection coming out, send it to your blogs.
Yeah.
It's all about speed, right?
Mm-hmm.
The blogs are so nimble. They can publish like that, but when you have to go through a print cycle and, you know, it definitely takes more time that way.
I think the editorial calendars are really, really key for two reasons, too. Of course, what you were just talking about, but also the editorial calendars will set up what the ad schedule is. So you can really start to delve in by looking at what the magazines or publications are going to be covering. So their focus could be healthcare, it could be hospitality. And so you really want to think about ahead of time, okay, what projects do I have coming up? What collections? Maybe you're working on a collection with a manufacturer that is really positioned for the hospitality market. I mean, that's something to say, let's get that ready in time so that we can meet that. Otherwise, some of them might not be covering hospitality for a while. Obviously, there's magazines like Hospitality Design or Boutique Design, which are covering this kind of thing all the time. But even them, too, are covering different categories. They can't cover every category every month. So it might be wall covering, it might be seating, it might be furniture, it might be custom work.
Yeah.
And it's really important to get to know those editorial calendars. Something that I wanted to bring up as well is the words are public relations, and the key word there is relations, right?
Yeah.
And so this is really just like anything else, right? Just like developing a rapport or a relationship with your client, you want to create some of those relationships with the editors, with the publication, so that they start to reach out to you. It's a two-way street, and say, hey, what do you got coming up? We're really looking for some innovative projects.
And that is really the disconnect then between there's a lot of PR that you can do on your own by combing these editorial calendars, targeting things, understanding, you know, how to curate your information and your images and getting it in. But having those relationships with the editors is critical, and that's where having a publicist manage that for you can take you sort of to the next level. For example, I'll get calls, and other PR people, we have a lot of great freelance PR people in this design space, as well as a couple of small agencies that do an amazing job, deeply embedded with relationships with all the design publications. And for example, I'll get a call from a product editor because she knows if she calls me or any other publicist, really, that she can hit furniture, surfaces, fabric.
Right.
And she's, say for example, she's putting together a page of bold graphic designs, and she knows that she can call one publicist and her page is done.
Yeah.
You know,
it's such a time saver.
Yeah. So that is where, if you're doing it yourself, you might miss out on those kinds of opportunities.
Right, yeah. Right.
This is a blast, but we're at about 3 minutes.
Let's
Closing
talk
thoughts?
About extending the, we were going to talk about that a little earlier, wanted to come back to that. Let's talk about extending some of that content beyond getting published. Let's say a blog publishes you, or let's say you got published in Hospitality Design Magazine or one of the publications, Architectural Digest even. How can, you know, Emily, talk a little bit about how designers and product manufacturers can really extend their brand beyond getting published.
Yeah.
I think that was an important thing that we discussed prior to this.
Well, it's a huge advantage to your web presence because all of the publications that you're targeting likely already have a really strong following.
Right.
So I think the first thing that you would want to do when you are published is just kind of sit back and enjoy it and watch your numbers for a minute.
Right.
When that story goes up on, I don't know, let's say Architectural Digest Facebook page, and you're watching all the likes and shares and comments, you know, tick up and up, go back to your own page and look at how many likes you're getting now, because chances are people don't really know about your brand yet, and that has been a whole new introduction, a brand new audience for you. And I think what you can do to sort of leverage that is then bring that, I think there's a real opportunity to celebrate your success with your team who made that possible, right? The whole project team or the research and development department. Bring that back to them and ask them, like, hey, we should share this. You should be proud of this. And it truly takes a life of its own through real networking theory, right? You're mm-hmm. expending that spider web almost of people.
Right. And you can really engage with people that are commenting on those pages, right?
Right.
You There's can say, often thanks so much for your feedback, or let us know if you want to see more projects in this realm.
And it goes back to, I think, public relations and the relationships that you can build by answering questions and offering gratitude for, you know, some
Absolutely.
Of the kind words you receive on those successes.
Yeah. So I think that's kind of about it.
Yeah.
Anything else to add?
Yeah. I think we're great.
Yeah. If anyone that will be listening to this podcast following today at West Edge, you can reach us through greenowlstudio.com and let us know if you need some help. And you can reach any of us through there. And if you have specific questions, you can also reach us on Twitter. My Twitter handle is at Green Owl Studio. Reva?
Mine is at Reva Revis PR.
And I'm at MLE_Hooper.
Okay. Thanks. Have a great
Thank
West
you.
Edge. Have a great day.